Okay, tonight is Monday, February 13th, or 21st day of Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis in Masecha Sukkah. Okay, Rabbi Tai, we're on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis in Sukkah. Amar Rab Ami, top of the page. The Gemara had just come to the conclusion that there is no conflict whatsoever as to whether or not Arava is a Minhag Nevi'im or Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. One is talking about Bizman HaMikdash and the other one is talking about Bizman HaZeh. Bizman HaMikdash, Arava is a Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Post Mikdash, it's either a takana of Nevi'im or a minhag introduced by Nevi'im. The difference, as we saw in Tosfos last week, was a bracha on a minhag, and Tosfos's discussion concerning the carryover from this particular halacha that we don't make a bracha on Arava and apply that to Rosh Chodesh or other minhagim. Now the Gemara will further elaborate on the halacha of Arava. And this discussion, in effect, is applicable in the Mikdash itself, trying to define the parameters of the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Amar Rab Ami, Arava Tzricha Shi'ur. Number one, there is a minimum size for the Arava, either a size or number of Aravot that would be necessary to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Arava Sheva Mikdash. So as we'll see a little later, what shiur it's referring to, Rashi himself says this, just look a little later. L'kaman mefaresh. I'll explain a little later, so I'm not going to bother wasting ink space now. Ve'eina niteles ela bifnei atzma. The arava can only be taken independently. Ve'ein adam yotze yedei chavasa ba'arava shebelulav. An individual will not be able to be yotze his obligation simply by taking the arava in the lulav. So this is what's the focus for tonight, to understand this statement that ein ha'arava niteles bifnei atzma and ein adam yotze yedei chavaso be'arava shebelulav. So we'll read a couple of more lines and then see the machloikas of Rishayim. Ask the Gemara, Kevan de Amamar Einoni Teles Elabif Neatzma. Once the first statement, Rav Ami said that Arava must be taken it independently, Pshita de'ein adam yotzei b'arava shebelulav. Obviously, you can't use the arava and the lulav when it just said it has to be taken independently. So why is it necessary to formulate both halachot? That the arava has to be taken separately, and you cannot use the arava which is found in the lulav, it has to be a separate arava. Answers the Gemara. Mahu desema, hani mili, Hecha delo agbehe, v'hadar agbe. I might have thought that the only time that you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah of arava with the lulav is if you picked it up only once and waved the lulav once. So I waved it once, I did the nanuim. Now, 10 minutes later, I'm going to wave the lulav a second time. So here I could have imagined that had it only said that arava niteles bifnei atzma, that an arava must be taken independently, so that would only teach me that I have to have two picking up of the arava, but it still can be attached to the lulav. I can pick up the arava once as part of the arba minim, wave it, and now I can pick up the arava with the lulav a second time to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Arava. So I will have had a Hadasim and a Lulav of an Esrog as an extra. That's all, an extra.
What is Bifnei Atzma?
What? It means that it requires a separate netila. But you can't just discharge both obligations through one waving, through one na'anuim. Therefore, I also need the second one. Kamash malan, aval agbe v'odar hagba emalo. Kamash malan, no. However, if what? If I had picked it up and then picked it up again, I imagined I could have what? Been yotze under those circumstances. Therefore, he needs the second statement. Ein adam yotze chidei chavaso be'arava shebalulav. That's what the Gemara says. The Rav Chista Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Adam Yotze Yedei Chavasai Ba'arava Shebelulav. A person will be Yotze his obligation with the Arava in the Lulav. So there seems to be a machlokes Rav Ami and Rav Chista. So now let's see number one, a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand and the Rambam on the other hand. Rashi and Tosfos both say that the intention of the Gemara of Rav Ami is not that you require a second Arava. You don't need a second Arava at all. Absolutely not. What do you need? You cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Arava while it's tied to the lulav. That's all. While it's tied to the lulav. Therefore, the option that I have is as follows. I only buy one set of aravos. I put them into the lulav. I pick up the lulav with the hadassim and the aravos, and I am mekayim the mitzvah of nanuim during challah. Now comes the zechel mikdash. Now comes in the mikdash. I've already discharged my obligation of lulav, which means arba minim. Now I undo the knot, the igud, I take out the arava, and I wave the arava independently. That, according to Rashi and Tosfos, is sufficient. Because you have fulfilled both statements of Rav Ami. One, niteles bifnei atzma. You cannot be mekayim the mitzvah arava at the exact same instant as being mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. It requires a second taking. I did take it a second time. Plus, it can, even when I take it the second time, it cannot be together with the lulav. So it was not together with the lulav. As a result, we never have to buy from NCSY any aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. You don't have to buy aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. According to Rashi and Tosfos, not necessary. Just when you're finished with the lulav, you take the aravos out, and now you hold just the aravos, and I'm a kai in the mitzvah. Yeah.
Did you say we have to take it a second time?
Yeah, of course. The second had to be a kai in the mitzvah of netilas arava.
Now, what about according to the shita of whether egos are egos or not are egos? If we don't believe in egos, then
good. This will enter the discussion. It will enter the discussion in a couple of seconds. That it might depend on that. So that's Rashi's interpretation. Take a look at Rashi. Eina niteles ela bifnei atzma. Ein dovar acher ne'egadima demuchach shehi mitzvah. Why do I have to go through this whole shtick of taking out the arava from the igud of the lulav? Why? If I already waved it once, why can't I just pick up the arava together with the lulav and be mekayim the mitzvah arava a second time? What does it bother me that I happen to have the lulav and the hadassim in my hand? Answers Rashi, because then it doesn't look like you're doing it for the mitzvah arava. It looks like you're picking up what? The lulav a second time. There's no heker. So in order to create the heker, all you have to do is take it out of the aguda, and then you now are fulfilling the mitzvah. But no place does Rashi claim you have to buy two sets of aravos. One set of aravos for the lulav, and a second set of aravos for the mitzvah arava.
Why are you saying it like people would think that? Well, why would you think you need to buy?
Because the Rambam is going to tell you have to. We're going to read around. Rambam says this is not what the Gemara means. The Rambam says what Rav Ami has in mind is you have to have two sets of Aravos. That's the Rambam's going to read in 2 seconds. What?
Shebalula would be not.
You're not just Shebalula, exactly. It cannot be the Arava of the Lula under any circumstances. Correct. So now take out the sheet that I gave you. So you can see it yourself. Look at the Rambam writes. How he defines the halacha l'moishe misinai. Perek Zayin halacha chaf. Kol halacha l'moishe misinai. Shemivin b'mikdash. Arava acheres. Chutz me'arava shebalulav. You can't get any more explicit than that. The halacha l'moishe misinai is that you must bring to the Beis HaMikdash a second arava in addition to the arava that is taken into the lulav. Ve'ein adam yotze yedei chavaso be'arava shebalulav. And you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah at all with the arava which happened to have been in the lulav, even if what? Even if what? You take it out. So says the Rambam. So says the Rambam.
What words does he get this from?
This is the way he interprets Niteles Bifneyatzma. This is how he interprets Rav Ami's words. Both Niteles Bifneyatzma and Ein Adam Yotzei Dechavase Barava Shabalulav. You can never be Yotzei with the Arava that you once inserted into the Lulav. That's the way he interprets it. It could very well be that the machloikus between Rashi and the Rambam is what exactly was the definition? What was the halacha of Moshe Misina? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say when he came down from Sinai? There are two possible formulations. A, you should take an arava a second time. In addition to ulekachtam lachem priyetz adar kapitamitamitamachal, which is in the Torah, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to take the arava another time. Okay. That would fit Rashi's interpretation. That the halacha l'moishe misinai simply demanded that we take the arava a second time. No place does it say that you have to bring a second arava. That whereas based on Torah Shebiksav, all you have to do is pick up the arava once together with the arba minim. And it comes along like Moshe said, you have to pick up the arava a second time. Okay, that could very well be as well. The Rambam does not believe that that was the halacha of Moshe Misinai. The halacha of Moshe Misinai is shemivin arava lemikdash, arava acheres lemikdash. That you walk into the mikdash already well prepared with one arava for your lulav and another arava for your for the mitzvah arava.
Is that the issue of the Rambam, or is it the problem with muksa? Your arava for your lulav just hooks the mitzvah.
No. That would be an interesting suggestion. That's an interesting suggestion. Can you say that a hutzal mitzvasa precludes using it for another mitzvah? That's an interesting question. Because we normally don't find, it's hard to find, I didn't even think of that. It's hard to find parallels that where something is hutzal mitzvasa and you want to use it for another mitzvah. We always discuss hutzal mitzvasa that you can't use it for your private use, private benefit, personal benefit. But I can't think of another case of where there's a discussion that something is hutzal mitzvasa and it can't be used for another mitzvah. Yeah,
also,
offhand.
Is there also a difference in what you do with the arava, you know, just picking it up or putting it on the mizbeach?
Yeah.
Why should it make a difference? If you put it on against the Mizbeach, so after you finish picking up the lulav, you'll take it out and put it on the Mizbeach.
Rashi doesn't seem to say anything about that.
Because that's in that, it's not related to the discussion.
But in the Mikdash, they did it one day or they did it three
days? All 7 days.
Right, so once you put it there, you can't have it back. So
why not? It's not burnt. You put it against the Mizbeach, 5 minutes later, you pick it, after you're finished, you'll put it, take it back, put it back in your lulav for tomorrow morning.
And according to these, everyone's going in twice?
And don't, what?
So people are going in twice to the to do this?
No. Yeah. You know, you go in, you put it down, it stays there for 2 seconds. Yeah. And then you take it out. Yeah. That's And that's only if you're, and if it's Natila, you just walk around the Mizbeach. That's it. Then you walk out and shine. So that would be that's one possibility. That's one possibility. Yeah. Now, what would happen, Rabotai, if you did the following? I took the Arava outside of the Lulav. I took it out of the binder, right? The little thing that we held together. But I have something else in my hand. Is that included in the phrase Ve'eno Niteles Ela Bifnei Atzma? Is that included in that particular phrase or not? So the Rush says, absolutely not. The phrase Eino Niteles Ela Bifnei Atzma is simply designed to teach me one halacha, that I cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Arava when I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of Lulav at that time. Then when it says that I can't have it together with the Lulav, okay. So you take it out of the lulav, and I hold it in my left hand, my right hand. Let's put it in line. You get the lulav, I hold it in my right hand. No problem. No problem whatsoever. So says the Rush. Other Rishonim say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. When it says, Eino Niteles Ela Bifnei Atzma, it's to alert you, there cannot be any other min in your hand at that particular time. Tell me why, Rabotai. Tell me why there can't be anything in your hand at that particular time. What isur might you be touching? No, a little sharper. No, because I'm holding it in one hand, the arava, the other hand I'm holding the lulav. What isur might I be touching upon if I have it in my hand? What? Excellent. That's what the Ran and many other Rishonim say. It's Bal Tosef. Because the Arava Shebemikdash, just as we had on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis, there was a discussion when we have Arba Minim, are you allowed to put into your hand another Min, put a rose in, or anything else? So once there is a fixed number, we know that Bal Tosef is obviously an issue. Well, here, by Arava, that's exactly what he's saying. Eino niteles ela bifnei atzma. So if I happen to hold the lulav in my hand, in the other hand, even though I took out the Arava from the package, under those circumstances, it's Bal Tosef. And indeed, the Ran says, you are not permitted to have any other bin in your hands at that time, because the mitzvah of Arava is Arava lechud. Only Arava, nothing else at that time. By holding something else, you generate the impression that the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai demands above and beyond the Arava. That's one, the Ran and one group of Rishonim. Then there is a second group of Rishonim who says the following. That the Beis Yosef quotes this in Siman Tuf Reish Samach Dalad. He says that once I was already Mekayim the mitzvah of Lulav, now holding the Lulav when I pick up the Arava is not a problem whatsoever. Why not?
What?
Good. It might. That's one thing. Okay. It has no significant. It might not have any halachic significance any longer. Perhaps. What? Okay. Perhaps. He claims that. If you remember, there were many shitos about the parameters of Bal Tosef as it applied to Lulav and Hadas and Arava. Anybody remember any of the opinions that we mentioned at the time? The Rambam says that Baal Tosef applies to everything except the Hadassim. You can add as many Hadassim as you want. Tosef said the Baal Tosef doesn't apply to Hadassim or to Aravos. Not at all. And it only applies to the Lulav and the Esrog. That you can't have more than one Esrog, can't have more than one Lulav. Now, if you believe that, for example, that that under those circumstances, there is no Baal Tosef in relationship to the Arava, give me two interpretations of that halacha and relate it to here whether or not you can hold something else in my hand or not. Give me two possible interpretations of what it means there's no Baal Tosef of the Arava. What does that mean in relationship to this mitzvah? A, Baal Tosef means you can have 50 Aravos. That's the simple interpretation. To claim that there is no Baal Tosef for Arava means, even though we only take two, but if you want to take 50 Aravos, be my guest. That's one possible interpretation. Or you can say, there is no Baal Tosef with the Arava, that says that halacha, but it also says the second halacha. That when it comes to Arava Sheba Mikdash, there is not, no, it's not shayach to what? To engage in Baal Tosef at all. That the mitzvah of Baal Tosef, only, Isra of Baal Tosef, only applies when you're dealing with Arba Minim. Then, within each min, you are not permitted to add two lulavim, two esrogim. According to the Rambam, you can't add more than three hadassim, three or three aravos, no problem. According to other rishonim, it applies to all four. You can't add five hadassim, you can't put three aravos, can't put two lulavim, two esrogim. But it doesn't necessarily mean that when I'm holding what? When I'm holding an arav in one hand doesn't mean that I can't hold the lulav in the other hand. That's not what Baal Tosef means. Baal Tosef only means within each individual min are you allowed to add to that number which is required. To the number which is required. If you only have one lulav, you're not allowed to take two lulav. If you want to take one esrog, you can't take two esrog. But to add something else at the time of an Arava is not a problem at all. The Beis Yosef discusses both opinions. And then he adds what Marvin said. Maybe this whole discussion should depend on whether Lulav, Tzarich, Agad or not. If Lulav, Tzarich, Agad or not. And here there will be a Chumrah if you hold Lulav Ein Tzarich Agad as opposed to Lulav Tzarich Agad. Meaning as follows. If I believe that the lulav, when I am kind of the mitzvah, the hadassim and the aravos must be tied to the lulav. Okay? Must be tied. So now, when I take the arava out, and I hold it separately, can anybody mistake this for the mitzvah of lulav now? Even if I have the lulav in my hand. Can anybody confuse this and say, hey, the guy, you're not really being mekayim the mitzvah of Arava. You're being mekayim the mitzvah of Lulav. Can anybody make such a mistake? Absolutely not. Because Lulav Tzarech Agad. In order to be mekayim the Arba Minim, the three of them have to be Agud. But if you hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, the way we paskin, that means that you never have to tie the lulav and the arava together. You never have to tie them together. The hadas and the arava and the lulav don't have to be tied. And in fact, you remember the bahag shita that you can pick them up one after the other. Exactly. You can pick up the lulav, put it down. Pick up the hadas and pick up the esrog, pick up the lulav, no problem. In which case, if I have the arava in one hand and I have the lulav in the other hand, what indeed might it look like I'm doing? I'm being the kind of mitzvah of lulav again. Therefore, in order to eliminate and to make what is called heker l'shem mitzvah arava, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to put the lulav down. But if you held lulav tzarech agad, that defines the mitzvah of lulav, that the only way one can represent that mitzvah is they're tied together. The moment you take the aravos out of the igud, it no longer can be construed or misread as the mitzvah of lulav. Therefore, under those circumstances, I would necessarily hold that I would be able to be mekayim the mitzvah with the arava in one hand and the lulav in the other, because there is no longer any possibility of heker. So many of these issues, which we've touched upon in the past, seem to be coming to the fore here as well, in terms of defining this particular machloikis. Lehalacha lemaaser, the Rilunel, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Milunel says, he's the one who mentions this thing about lulav tzorach agar or not, lulav tzorach agar. Now, take a look at the Gemara again for 1 second, and read Rav Chista's halacha, but include that which is in the brackets. So machlokes the Marsha and the Maram, whether we should be goreis those words or not. The Rush and the Rif have omitted in their text as well. What would be the addition of saying Beyant of Rishon Shachar? This is Rav Chista's opinion, who believes that Adam Yotze Yidei Chavaso Be'arava Shebelulav. You can be Yotze. So, what does Rav Chista mean? What does that mean? Now, there are two possibilities what he means. Based on what Rav Ami said, what are the two possibilities of the dissenting opinion? Either A, new Rabotai, A. What?
Disagrees completely.
Okay, so tell me what does he say?
Says you can take it with lulav.
Good. Do you have to take it? Do you have to pick it up twice?
No.
Okay, so you can say either or. You can say he might agree that what you have to pick it up twice, but it can be part of the lulav branch. Or you can say no. He goes way all the way. He goes completely. You don't even have to pick it up twice. The minute you pick up the lulav for the mitzvah of lulav, at that very same time, I'm also being mekayim the mitzvah arava. Adam yotze yidei chavasa b'arava shebelulav. The logic is that he's not going to go that far, because Rav Ami made two statements, and Rav Chista only quoted one of them in his dissent. Which one did Rav Chista not mention in his dissent? Ela b'fnei atzma. He did not say that. So minimally, what does he require? An additional netila. Got to pick it up a second time. But what does he definitely not require? Does certainly against the Rambam that you have to buy a second arava. That's for sure not. And very well, possibly you don't even have to take it out. Just pick it up and that's it. But to pick it up a second time, even Rav Chista would happen to admit. But now comes Afilu be goreis the words biyantav arishin shachar. Tell me, Rabotai, why I would have imagined that on the first day of Yom Tov, maybe you wouldn't be Yotze, and the chidush which Rav Chista is now adding is, you know what? Not only are you going to be Yotze with the way I say, with the lulav, with the arava shebelulav on days 2 through 7, but even on the first day of Yom Tov, you will be mekayim the mitzvah as well. What added chidush is there to say that you would be mekayim the mitzvah with the what is? So the Maram, the Rush, the Rif are not goyrisit, and therefore they say there is no additional chidush. The Marsha says, yeah, put it in the text. It belongs in there. Because there is an additional chidush by claiming that on the first day, Rav Chista still disagrees with his fellow buddy Rav Ami. Why? Why might I claim that the first day is different than the other? What would I have claimed? What? Right. Since lulav, this is what he says, since lulav on the first day of Yantav is midoraisa all throughout the world, even Bigvulin, so obviously its status, and this is his language, it's mitzvah chashuva. It's a very significant mitzvah. Therefore, I could have imagined that when the guy picks up the what? The lulav the second time, what does he really want to do by picking up the lulav the second time? What does he want to do? So give me something that we know of speaks halachically to holding the lulav a second time. We saw it on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Who is that person? No. Less distinguished individuals. No. Kach haya min hagan Shan Yerushalayim. Right? Walk around all day. Nichnas levaker es achaylim. Lava beyadai. Nicham aveilim. Guy carries his lulav all day. So therefore, on the first day of Yom Tov, when you pick up the lulav the first time, and then put it down, and then pick it up again, is there any real heker that I'm doing it for the mitzvah arava? Absolutely not.
We don't make a bracha on it, do we?
But?
We don't make a separate bracha on it.
No, there is no bracha on it. No. Exactly. So we could have imagined that under those circumstances, you would not be able to be Yotzei in the fashion which Rav Chista has created. Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rav Chista says, include those words. Adam Yotzei Yedei Chavasal Be'arava Shebalulav. Even Beyantav Rishon Shachat. I require so little heker for the mitzvah arava that what? Even if I pick it up on the first day of Yom Tov, when I could have claimed that the reason why I'm picking up is just to be an Anshei Yerushalayim, Nick? No. You think that I'm doing this Mishem Lulav for Hashem Arava, that's enough for me. I don't care that somebody else will think that it's not that. As long as I had in mind to be Mekayim the mitzvah arava, Shiva Mikdash, that would be fine. And as a result, those three words do amplify the chidush of Rav Chista in his dissent with Rav Ami. Kacha to'ein hamarsha.
These guys are all talking about in the Mikdash, obviously, right? Because that's the only place.
That is correct.
So what are we going to, in the Mikdash, where the level obligation is Daraisa for both, Lulav and Farav.
Correct.
So what is the impact of the guys in Shlaim? I'm not sure why I would...
Because I am...
We're all in the Mikdash. Out of the Mikdash, nobody did a Rava.
No, I understand. So, first of all, that's true. But I could say that when I'm on the Mikdash, what was my intention? I want to be an Anshei Yerushalayim. I want to hold my lulav all day.
We never said we walk around the Mikdash with the Avraham. No,
they walk around all day with it, wherever they went.
We're talking about in the Mikdash.
Wherever they went, they carried their lulav. That's all. Whatever it is, they're holding their lulav all day. Holding their lulav all day. Now, lehalacha lemaisa, there is a machlokes rishonim who we paskin like, Rav Ami or Rav Chista. The Rambam clearly paskins like Rav Ami, no doubt. He says you have to have, that's the Rav Shem Mikdash, doesn't offer any torahs, nothing to talk about. That's the Rambam. Some rishonim, the Rav Yah, paskins clearly like Rav Chista, says the halacha is like Rav Chista against Rav Ami. End of discussion. How does he come to that conclusion? Because Rav Ami is a single individual who cites his halacha. Yet Rav Chista, take a look again. Rav Chista is what? Quoting in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Simply, it's 2-1. Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Chista agree that you don't need a special heker for arava. Says the Rav Yah, Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim, and the halacha is like Rav Yitzchak and Rav Chista against Rav Ami. So says the Rav Yah. And the Rosh says the exact same thing. Says the Ritz Geus, ule inyan halacha leslan ba. This halacha has no practical application whatsoever. Why? She'ela, why? Because I look around throughout the world, And does anybody ever follow Rav Ami? Excuse me, anybody ever follow? Does anybody follow Rav Chisda? No. You ever see somebody not buy an Arava on a Shana Rabba? Anybody? No. Sekvar nohagu ha'am kedivei Rav Ami. So therefore, the Ritz Gans says there's no practical debate today because Klal Yisrael has already paskin the shaila by saying that they all makbid to go ahead and have a separate arava, and therefore I'm not going to waste my time telling you whether the halacha really is like Rav Chisda or really like Rav Ami. Klal Yisrael has already paskin the halacha like Rav Ami. Everybody knows that you buy a separate arava. L'ravcha demilsa kirab ami. Now this statement of Ritzkeis should not be taken lightly. There is a group, there is a theory amongst many paiskim that wherever you have a machloikis, and it's not much of an effort to what? To accommodate both of them, always engage in a practice in which there is no machloikis whatsoever. Always strive under all circumstances to make yourself, put yourself in a position where you're not creating controversy. Always. That's a school of thought. I'll give you a couple of illustrations in the Gemara itself. There is a debate between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan whether there is such a thing as zimun bishnayim or not. Is there zimun bishnayim? Rav says you don't need three people to make a zimun. Two people is enough to make a zimun. Rabbi Yochanan says shnayim shiratzu lezamen ein mezamen. The Gemara never codes who the halach is like. Is Rav right or Rabbi Yochanan? Rav doesn't say. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say. So Abaye has a resolution. Amar Abaye shnayim sha'achlu ka'achas mitzvah leichol leik. What does that mean? Two people are sitting down at the table. What should they do? Don't sit down and eat. You're sitting at the table. Oh, move over to the next table. You go to a restaurant with your friend and you sit down. Oh, I remember Rabbi. You sit alone. You sit at one table. He goes to the other table. And the waiter says, what are you wasting two tables for? Because I'm following Rabbi. Because you don't want to enter into the debate between what? Between Rav Yochanan and Rav. So therefore, just avoid the situation. Just avoid the situation. The Rev once said that his mother used to get very annoyed at him when he would eat in the following situation. He started eating a meal. I was Rosh Chodesh. And then it got dark. It got dark and he didn't bench yet. And his mother would scream, his father never said anything, his mother would scream at me. How could I be so insensitive to a machloikis? What's the machloikis? What's the machloikis? Correct. What determines the nusach by Berchas HaMazon? Is the criteria what? When you start the meal, you start the meal with Rosh Chodesh, so you say Yalav Yavah. Or is the criteria when you bench? The same thing is true about Al Hanisim on Purim. Same debate, Machloikas or Rishayim. Said the Rav's mother, Berela, why are you putting yourself into such a Machloikas? There's a very way to resolve this. Don't get involved. Bench before Shkia. That's all. Bench before Shkia, then you don't get involved in the Machloikas. So this happened to have been particularly a style, an approach of the Briska in general. Why engage in a practice which is subject to a debate which can accommodate everybody? Just make everybody happy and that's it. Make everybody happy. So the Ritz Geus is actually saying it here. The halacha could very well have been like Rav Chisda. But Klal Yisrael has already decided we're going to be makpid like Rav Ami. And everybody buys their own individual arava, and therefore there's nothing to discuss, whether it's Nitellus, Bifnei Atzma, everybody's got their own, end of discussion. So that's a certain approach, that you don't want to get involved in a machloikis, and because you never know, you want to satisfy everybody. So that's a style. Here the Ritz Geus points it out. There are many others who, again, practice that throughout the year. Throughout the year. Then we gain weiter. In fact, just one last word. Take a look at Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the last line of the Tosfos. It's the next to the last, very short Tosfos. Tell me how Tosfos commits himself to this particular issue. Rashi was clear, the Rambam was clear. What's Tosfos' opinion? Ve'eino niteles ela bifnei atzma. Says Tosfos, lo shiye esor litol ha'arava im halulav. To lomairi ella ba'agidi ba'hadadi hadadi. What does that mean? What's
like? Yeah,
what?
You can't tell you that.
That's it. As soon as you take it out, what's the problem? No problem whatsoever.
Separate.
Just take it out of Yaguda. End of discussion. So it's not that you can't use the arava of the lulav. Of course you can. What's the only consideration? Don't keep it in the aguda. You take it out, no problem. You don't have to drop anything. You don't have to hold it. That's the only thing the Tosfos claim.
Limit this gemara then to people who just told Tzareth Aga?
What?
Is he limiting the whole gemara?
Yes, 100%. That's what Tosfos is saying. That this whole discussion is if you hold luv Tzareth Aga. If you don't hold luv Tzareth Aga, there's nothing to talk about. Precisely. Very simple. That's how Tosfos resolves it. Okay, let me get invited. So the Rav Ami had actually said two things: a ravat tzri chashir and eina netelis ela b'fnei atzmo v'ein yotzer dechavaso. And then the Gemara discussed the second halacha first. Stylistically, this is something that we find very frequently. When you list halachot, you list them all, and then you begin discussing the last one first, and then you go back to the first. I don't know why, but it happens very, very frequently in the Gemara. Hach de katani last, I forgot the actual word, the thing that's listed last sparks the discussion. Oh, because it's fresh in my mind. The other one I said 12 seconds ago. This one I just said now, oh, so it's fresh on my mind. I'm going to give you all the variables, the debate. So now the Gemara is going to go back to his first halacha of Arava Tzri Chashir. Vekama Shi'ura. Amar Rav Nachman. Gimel Bade Alin Lachin. Number one, you need three Aravot. And you have to have with moist leaves. The Rav Sheshes Omar, Afilu Ola Echad, Ubar Echad. All you need is what? One leaf and one stem. Ask the Gemara, Ola Echad, Ubar Echad, Sakataitach. Does that mean you're supposed to have one stem and in your other hand, one leaf? Is that what it really means? Obviously, he didn't mean that. Eloema afilu ola echad bivar echad. Obviously, I don't know why anybody would have thought that you can hold a leaf and arava leaf alone. I don't know why anybody would have thought that. But anyhow, that's what the Gemara says. You need one arava stick, plus all you need is one leaf on that arava stick. Fine. Now, Now nobody offers any svara as to why you need three, or why do you suffice with one? What might be the kernel of the machlokes? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Shlosha badi sheyesh b'chol echad alin lachin." Rav Nachman says you need three sticks, and they have to have plenty of leaves that are fresh. And he says, "Ola echad v'ubar echad salkedaitach." Ola echad v'dam v'salkedaitach. Ola mashma below bad, ubad below ola. So the way he formulated initially was, you can have a stick and a leaf, one without the other. Umay lekicha be'ola below bad. What kind of lekicha could there be by just holding one leaf of an arava? Hello, mikre lekicha. Hello, nothing. You can't notice anything. Well, you tell a little leaf. Okay, that was the havamina. I don't really know the havamina. Ola echad bevar echad. Bar echad ubo ola echad vidayo. Now Rashi's going to go on to something else, which might be instructive for us to understand what this machlokes is all about. V'chi amrina le'el tfachim le'gabelu le'gimel tfachim. That which the Gemara said previously, that the arava of the lulav has to be three tfachim, that's le'gabe lulav hu da amrinan. Shetehei arava aruka shlosha tfachim. That's only for the arava which you require in the lulav. Avol arava shahayu makifin ba bifnei atzma kol dehu sagi. All you need is what? A little ba this big. That's it, just this big with one leaf on it. That's all you need.
Didn't we learn that over the
Mizbeach? In theory, it should have. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how it would do that with this. But Rashi says there's no shear. Okay. No minimum shear whatsoever. None. And the only requirement that existed at the time of the Gemara's discussion was the Arava together with the Lulav. Why might there be a difference? Why might there be a difference? That the Arava in the Lulav has to be at least three tefachim high. The arava, which is independent, need not be any koldahu, is nothing, a mamish, nothing. What might be Rashi's line of thinking? So some explain that Rashi believes that the reason why an arava with the lulav has to be three tfachim because of the overpowering presence of the lulav. The lulav, we know, has to be at least three tfachim kedei linanea bo. If you were to take a little arava, you wouldn't even notice it. You would only see the what? You'd only see the lulav. Hence, the shiur of arava is not a halacha in arava per se. It's just to make sure that what? That it's noticed because it can be overpowered by the lulav. Hence, when you're taking the arava independently and it's not matched up with the lulav, so therefore, there's nothing to swallow it. There's nothing to overpower it. If there's nothing to overpower it, even a mashahu is enough. Even a mashahu is enough. The Ran writes black on blue. No. Of course, the Arava Shebemikdash has to be at least three tfachim. At least three tfachim. Because he believes that when the Gemara previously, on Lamed Beis, said that the Arava has to be three tefachim, it's not because what? It's going to be overpowered by what? By the lulav. It's because it's one of the arba minim, and you want to see it. And if something is so small that it's a mashu, you can't take note of it. So it simply requires heker. You have to notice it, not because it's being overpowered by what, by the lulav. That's not the reason. You need heker in and of itself. Therefore, says the Ran, the arava, this additional arava has to be also at least gimel tfachim high, at least gimel tfachim. In which case, we can now claim that this is the core of the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes as well. Why does Rav Nachman feel you need at least three badim? Why? Because he might feel that if you have only one little stick, it's not noticeable enough. It's not noticeable enough. In order to create a real heker, you need something a little more substantial than just one. Our practice, based purely on Kabbalah, not one halacha, that you take five sticks. That's what we do in our little agudah, five aravot. And again, I can't explain it. Everybody says it's in Yoni Kabbalah. I'm not a desire. I can't tell you what it means. But that's what we do. The Gemara never mentions five. The Gemara mentions only three or one. And it could very well be that the reason why you need more than one is simply to create more of a heker, just as the Ran says in relationship to the height factor, that a mashahu is not sufficient. Hence, you can assume that Rav Nachman meant that as well, that one simple arava is not very distinguishable, for after all, even the arava in the lulav is at least two, because it says arve nachal. And if you were to agree with Abba Shaul that Arve Nachal is not a halacha l'maishim Sinai, but it's in the text itself, Arve Nachal refers what? One is the Arava Shebemikdash, one is the Arava Shebelulav. Of course you need two, Vedini Dekra, and it's not simply a halacha and heker. Not simply a halacha and heker. So that might be the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Is it required to engage in any type of heker for the mitzvah of Arava or not? So is the requirement by lulav, by Arava Shebulav, only to protect it from being overpowered? Or is it a separate independent requirement in order to make it nikar unto itself?
Where's the earliest posek that writes down five from whatever he knows?
I don't know. I'm
Rishonim or not?
No, I have not seen Rishonim who say five.
Comes in Achronim somewhere?
Yeah, apparently. I haven't seen Rishonim who said five. Yeah, so the Kesef Mishnah says, the Maggid Mishnah says that the Rambam, without even saying as much, he says he passes like Rav Sheshes. All you need is one. Because the Rambam has a rule that halachik Rav Nachman bedine, dini mamonos, and halachik Rav Sheshes be sure. All you need is one. That's the Rambam sheet. I haven't seen Mishayin and Musay five.
The Rambam says Murbius.
Yeah, but the Maggid Mishnah quotes one, you know, one. That's what he quotes on the side. Yeah, exactly. No, but these Murbios is what they used to bring. Murbios is big bunches. That's to bring, to make sure that everybody has one. They used to bring big bunches of it. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you brought a big bunch for each individual person. The Shulchan Aruch also passes like him, like that all you need is one. Lama gain vayter. Oma Aivu. Aivu said. So Rashi claims Aibu is Rav's father. So says Rashi. Aibu Abuha the Rav was Rav's father. Okay? Gavarab gave birth to Rav. He's quoted occasionally in the Gemara. Rav's father Aivu, occasion, not too frequently. Have a ka'imnu kameh the Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. I was once in the presence of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. Va'aisi hahu gavra arava kameh, and somebody brought him an arava. Shakil, he took it from him. Chavit, chavit. He banged it on the floor, velo birech, and he did not make a bracha. Now I was quick to point out that chabata means to knock it on the floor, and Rashi says, do not think so. Don't even entertain such a thought. Says Rashi, what does chavit chavit mean? Says Rashi, nanu, he waved it. He made nanuim with it. It's a very strange expression. The Gemara knows how to say nanuim, right? It's a Mishnah we had on Daf Lamed Ches. Ketzad min na'anin. How do you engage in making nanuim? Mm-hmm. So if the Gemara wanted to say that you take an out nanua, should have said, you know, ni'ana. Why chavit chavit? Because chavata really means, it's strange that it means, that's how Rashi interprets it. And in fact, there are those who, this was Reb Chaim's practice all the time, that after he finished walking around doing the hakafa with the lulav, and then in the machzor where it says, titneinu l'shein, you pick up the arava, So the only thing that we do is bang it on the floor at the end. Do we actually do an enanua with the Arab? No, we don't. But Rab Chaim was chayshish for Rashi. So what did he do? When he was up to kol mevaser mevaser va'omer, he made nanuim. Kol mevaser mevaser va'omer, up and down. And he did it three times, because you're saying kol mevaser mevaser three times. So he did it, why? Make Rashi happy. That's what he did. But this Aivu saw that Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok took it velo birech and did not recite a bracha. Kasavar minag neviim hu. Now Rashi is quick to point out minag neviim. Take a look at Rashi. Bigvulin velo yisod neviim hilkach eina tzricha bracha. That when did Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok not engage in making a bracha when he was bigvulin, when it's zeichel hamikdash, because it was only a minhag neviim, and as we said last week, you don't make a bracha on minhag neviim. Inference: if it were b'mikdash and adin, you make a bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas arava. Even though we don't find many Rishonim talking about that, most Rishonim don't say that there was a bracha. In fact, the Rambam did not say anything about making a bracha. If you look at Halacha Chaf Aleph, the Rambam says, Ketzad haisa mitzvasa, b'chol yom v'yom yishivas hayem ha'yem v'yim, rubi yishal arov, v'zok fin ha'son ha'tzid ha'adhe mezbeach, v'rashen kufin ha'gabe mezbeach. You blow the shofar. Chatzaytros. Kolios b'Shabbos. Shabbos l'seich b'sachag. Ein zok v'na rav elam kein chal. Yom hashvilos b'Shabbos. Zok v'na osa b'Shabbos. Kidei l'farsam mishim mitzvah.
So where did the banging come from at all?
What?
Either they walked around it.
No, because the word chavit chavit might mean banging in the Gemara.
Okay, but then
Rashi says it means nanua.
What's wrong with the banging?
Who said the Rambam said banging? He doesn't say anything about banging either.
All they did was leaning up against his back.
That's correct.
They walked in, they walked around.
That's it. Correct. Correct.
Because
the Rambam believes that the definition is zekif al gabei mizbeach. But the only question is, if you hold that it's not zekif al gabei mizbeach, that we have to do something with it. Question is, what do we do with it? Do we do an anrua, or do we bang it on the floors?
Does anyone know they actually banged it in the mikdash, or that's just that?
I have not seen anybody say who they bought, they banged it in the mikdash. Let me just read the end of the Rambam. Next page. Yeah, the Rambam says, there it is. Right? Excuse me. The Rambam says, after they finished, this is Bizman Hazeh. B'mikdash, nobody's banging anything. Zaykan, Bizman Hazeh, says the Rambam, ובזמן הזה כיצד עושה לוקח בד אחד או בד אין הרבה חוץ מהרבי שבלולב וחובד פה על הקרקע או הכלי פעמים או שלוש בלו ברכה שדוב הזה מנג נביאים הוא. So the Rambam interprets chovet as banging, but not in the mikdash, only when it's a zechel mikdash, and he interprets the word chovet, and it's hard to understand. What is the idea of banging it on the floor? Normally we do a zechel mikdash to commemorate the way things were done in the mikdash. So I can understand if you pick it up, if you wanted to walk around the, do a hakafa with it. Okay. Some say that the hakafa was done with an arava. So, right, but right, if it would be at least to put it on the bima, I can understand that. Right? But why put it? Why bang it on the floor? I don't know quite. What's the rationale for it?
There's a Kabbalah answer to that too, isn't it?
It's got to be a Kabbalah answer because the Gemara doesn't.
Self-sman, self-sman, self-sman kapara. It's a responsible kapara.
Okay.
It's reminiscent from years.
Could be. Okay.
Isn't all Kabbalah
the whole Hashana Rabbah is Kabbalah? Of course. Halacha Hashanah Rabbah doesn't exist.
The text of Komavaser was in
that wasn't, of course not. That whole Titnei, that's all Kabbalah business. The Gemara never talked about it, that you say anything special. It's not, doesn't have the Yom Kippur flavor. Right, that's all. I don't know. But, so that's a Machloikis Rashi in the Rambam. As to whether or not Chavit means to bang, or but it's only Bizman HaZeh, that's for sure. Bismara Mikdash, no banging. No banging. Aivo v'chiskia b'nei barte de Rav. Aivu and Chiskia, and the children of the daughter of Rav, Aisu Arava l'kame de Rav. Now they brought an Arava to Rav himself and see what he did.
His father went. This is Aivu the father?
Aivu, that's what Rashi said, it was his father. So Rav, he's testing his son. Because he saw Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok do it one way. So now he's going to see. Father's going to test
the
son.
And the grandson went.
Father and the grandson
of
his daughter. His grandson from his daughter. From his daughter. Went and brought an Aravah to Rav. What did he do? Chavit chavit v'lo barich. Kasavar minig neviyamu. He also believed that it's a minig neviim, and for this reason, no bracha whatsoever. Right? What? Art school says it's a different ivu? I don't know. Okay. I have no idea if it's the same one or a different one. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next of Ach. Oh, we're not, next week I have a wedding. Newman wedding is next Monday. So we'll continue in 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks.
What would
he might wave it. You know, who knows what he'll do?